In Vancouver, I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. The 2011 edition of the Guinness World Records is out now. It is the worldwide authority in all matters of human and natural endeavor. Today on the line from Toronto is the head of records adjudication for North America for the Guinness World Records, Danny Gertin Jr. He joins us to tell us more about what's in this edition of the book, what feats he's witnessed, and more. GuinnessWorldRecords.com is the website. A couple of years ago, we had on this program Craig Glenday, the editor-in-chief of Guinness World Records. Please welcome to the Plant Online program Danny Gertin Jr. Good morning, Mr. Gertin.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. How does one become the head of records adjudication?
For me, it's really about being passionate about seeing people who have a determination to achieve extraordinary feats. It's all about ordinary people just wanting to give it a go and to give it a shot to become a world record holder in their own right. And this has been happening throughout time. And since 1955, when the Guinness World Records book first became available, we've sold over 100 million copies in more than 100 countries in 115 languages. So it's really clear that people really appreciate record breaking and want to be part of it as well.
And how long have you been with the company?
I've been with Guinness World Records for about 3 years now. And I remember my first adjudications. I've personally seen a few hundred record attempts. And some of the most notable ones actually happened right here in Canada. I was in Toronto in July to see Bob Bloomer attempt most pizzas made in 1 hour record attempt for his show Glutton for Punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm unable to comment on the record's outcome because the episode has not yet aired, it's just another very visual, fun example of ordinary people who want to achieve extraordinary goals. That's what Guinness World Records is all about.
And you're based out of New York, are you?
I flew here from our New York office.
So yeah. Is it a full-time job for you?
Very much a full-time job this is for me. I love seeing people and learning the backstory to why it is that they want to attempt these records. Because our book aims to encompass the entire spectrum of life. And really, by highlighting these extremes, we help you to put your position in the world in context, and we define the outermost boundaries so you know exactly where you fit in, and then you can actually give it a go. We enable people to become legitimate world record holders.
So you, you're based out of New York, so that take because you're the head of records adjudication in for North America, so you go throughout North America, right?
My territory spans from the northernmost tip of Alaska through to South America, and I've occasionally been able to go to other territories as well, for instance, Dubai and China. And truthfully, there's so much record-breaking activity happening around North America. That's where my primary focus is now. And how can I not want to be a part of all these records? For example, we have the city of St. Thomas, which in December of 2009 did the largest cup of hot chocolate, and it was amazing, 318.23 gallons. And then we have mass participation records. Sherwood Park, in April of last year, had 465 people to come out and set the largest game of tag record. There's really something for everyone amidst our 40,000-plus records, and we're really proud to try to showcase them into our annual edition, like the 2011 book that just came out.
So you mentioned the largest cup of cocoa and the largest game of tag. Are these records, those two in particular, are they ones that have been set previously, or are these new?
Well, the record information I have is the most current detail.
Mm-hmm.
What I can also say is that some of our records become very, very popular. For instance, I was at CTV earlier today, and the host tried to set a record for peeling and eating the most lemons. And while the record attempt fell a bit short out of the stated time parameter, it's been very, very popular. That has actually been set four times previously in different countries around the world. So it just goes to show the global appeal of the brand and how we want to be a positive influence and be very much up to date with our readers' interests.
So if one wants to set a record, they can go on the website there, and they can apply, can they?
That's exactly right. That's the first step in all record applications. Everybody needs to go to GuinnessWorldRecords.com, that's double N, double S, spelled out, And there's actually an Apply Now link, which is on the homepage. And anybody can choose to click on that and to make an application. It's totally free. I think that may be one of the best-kept secrets about Guinness World Records, that really anybody at any time, anywhere, can attempt to be a record holder. Because what we're trying to do is showcase our record holders and announce to the world that these people are as much a part of our world today as, for example, sports stars or actors or scientists that you'll also find in the rest of the book.
So I also read somewhere that you travel around with these certificates, right?
I always bring a certificate on my person in the event that a record attempt is successful, so then I can immediately announce on the spot that a new record was set and recognize their achievement right there.
Yeah. When you go to a place like Toronto, where you are this morning, you obviously have some with you. Is it disappointing when you don't get to use them?
Well, that's part of the nature of record breaking. Truthfully, of all of the record applications that we receive, the percentage that actually become accredited is relatively small. But I think what's especially commendable is just that people want to give it a shot. And I really appreciate the backstory and that people want to be and deserve to be a world hero in their own right. And I really think it's fantastic when people just want to give it a go. And visiting GuinnessWorldRecords.com to take that first step on the road to becoming a world record holder.
You mentioned watching someone on CTV eat lemons, peel and eat lemons. While you're in Toronto today, are you set to adjudicate any other records?
Actually, I'll be at the Toronto Zoo tomorrow to lead a guided tour that begins at 12 p.m. to recognize some of the zoo's record holders. While we certainly have and celebrate the achievements of our human record holders, we also have the animal kingdom. For example, the smelliest mammal, which is the striped skunk. Or we also have the largest mammal to construct a nest, which we recognize. And I'll be pointing out exhibits like that tomorrow at the Toronto Zoo.
I don't envy you having to find the smelliest mammal, eh?
Throughout the whole book, the Guinness World Records 2011 edition, there's all kinds of records. About 4,000, 80% have never been seen before. There's actually 100% new photography from around the world. And truthfully, this edition is packed full and exploding with brand new content. I think it's a positive influence. It's very up-to-date with what our audience wants to see. And we're a trustworthy, authoritative source. This book really is a keepsake item. It's also a great place to go to for aspiring record breakers as well.
When did you first encounter the Guinness World Records as a child?
We always had a copy of the book on our coffee table, and I used to love thumbing through the pages. And never did I imagine that one day I would be privileged to join alongside record holders and recognize their achievements as well. It really is a dream come true. It's just a real pleasure to see these events happening around the world. And in fact, to help our readers sort of see part of what I get to do every day, we have a brand new feature in our book, which is a 270-city record-breaking GPS world tour. And so this chronicles some of the most iconic record attempts that have been happening around the world through the past decade and beyond. In addition to that, we also have a really cutting-edge holographic flaming cover, which is the first multicolor Guinness World Records cover since the 1999 edition. And I think people are really going to be wowed and excited by that feature as well.
You mentioned earlier that a lot of you've been to Canada a lot because, you know, we've attempted to set records ourselves. How do we rank in terms of the rest of the world?
Well, I don't have a roster in front of me about record-breaking activity, but what I do know is that I've personally been through Canada and the various territories quite often. I was in Burnaby on the West Coast last year when Electronic Arts set a brand new record category for the most people exercising to a video game, and it was a mass participation style record to help promote this FIT initiative that the organization wanted to promote. And that's really fun and very visual and exactly what Guinness World Records is all about. Seeing people get inspired, come together, have a great time, and maybe in the process become a world record holder.
I'm just looking at some of the achievements that are in this edition of the Guinness World Records. The heaviest aircraft pulled by an individual.
Mm-hmm.
You were a witness to that?
Well, I was not able to personally witness that one, but I am aware of Kevin Fast's amazing 416,299-pound pull. And actually, just last weekend, what other way for Mr. Fast to best his previous attempt than to pull a house? And he pulled a house that weighed 79,145 pounds, almost 40 feet, in just over a minute. And just another example of everyday people, ordinary people, really going the extreme limit to achieve extraordinary feats and be recognized for it.
There's also on your website a section of record attempts that one shouldn't attempt.
There are records that we do not endorse.
Yeah.
One category, for example, is heaviest pet records. We would never encourage our record-breaking community to force feed an animal for the sake of achieving a record that way. We also do not make guidelines for, say, animal speed records, say, the fastest time to go across a body of land on a horse. Because that would not be fair in our records management team's opinion to push the horse to those limits. But on the flip side, we have a lot of categories that are very doable. We actually, for example, have the most Ferrero Rocher chocolates eaten in 1 minute, and that stands at 8, and that was set here in Toronto June of last year. So anybody can give it a go, and we love to see the creativity that our record holders have, actually.
What's the oddest record that you've had to adjudicate?
All of the records are very special in their own way. I have to say, one of the most recent examples must be that Bob Bloomer record attempt. It's always a treat to come back to Toronto and to go to the Corso Italia Festival and to see this man in action. And it's always a treat to welcome a person into the Guinness World Records family. So that one stands out in my mind as a memorable event.
I think you already said this. How many records are in this book?
We have about a little over 4,000 records, actually, because what we're trying to do is make an entertaining, exciting, educational family reference that's also a collectible item. It's a great place to go to for aspiring record breakers and general knowledge seekers as well.
And you said there were something like 40,000 records in the database?
There are about 40,000 records in our database, as you mentioned, and our editorial team will continually hold focus groups to really find out what it is that our global audience wants to see featured. And one of those topics happened to be TV's 75th anniversary, as well as the eye-popping 3D cinema. While the 3D technology is not necessarily new, occasions like the Avatar film release really inspired a lot of interest in this area. So how could we not recognize that and perhaps devote a whole spread to this technology? And we also devoted a spread to the historic space shuttle as the NASA space program closes down that iconic area of exploration. So there really is something for everyone. We have longevity records. Actually, the oldest man in the world is 114 as of this past Tuesday. His name is Walter Breuning. So we celebrate his long life. And so we also have longevity records, say, for example, Dave Duvall of CTV, who has the longest career as a weather forecaster. And that spans 48 years, 2 months, 27 days, from January 1961 through to April 2009. And it's really just remarkable how anybody really can achieve a record in some way and be recognized for it. That's what Guinness World Records is all about.
And then there are also celebrity records in this edition?
We also do have a whole pop culture section, which is devoted to publishing, to comics and graphic novels, television, cop and crime shows, sci-fi and fantasy TV. We really try to be very comprehensive because we're the authority on record-breaking achievements and really are obligated to chronicle the world as it is for our global audience.
Tanny, it's been a pleasure to talk to you today. I'd say good luck with the book, but you'll sell millions and millions of copies, but good luck anyway.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
The website is guinnessworldrecords.com. The book is called the Guinness World Records 2011 edition. Danny Gerton Jr. is the Guinness World Records Head of Records Adjudication for North America. He joins me from Toronto. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.